Summary. Chapter 6. Vocabulary. Loft. Enormity. Bald. Bulk. Pandemonium. Heap. Eccentricity. Minor. Affected by. Pulp novel. Take revenge.
Marco Stanley Fogg has a good and relaxed time after Effing's death. He has enough money and moves into a loft in Chinatown together with his girlfriend Kitty. Marco enjoys being an outsider in Chinatown. He takes care of the household while Kitty works. He reads and starts writing short essays.
He reads an autobiography of Tesla. Do you remember Tesla?
Of course, Mr. Smart Aleck. He was the inventor Effing was so fascinated of.
Right. And do you remember the sentence of the fortune cookie that Marco ate one night in the Moon Palace?
The sun is the past. The earth is the present. The moon is the future.
Now Marco finds out that this sentence is actually by Tesla, the man who influenced his grandfather so much.
And
what? Marco cannot really make sense of this connection and takes it as a mere example of coincidence.
Have you realized that there are quite a few coincidences in this novel?
Yes, and there are many more to come. One day, Marco receives a letter from Solomon Barber. He sent him his father's obituary right after Effing's death. But it takes a couple of months till Solomon answers. He writes that he wants to come to New York to meet Marco and to talk to him.
They meet in early October 1970, and Marco is impressed by the enormity of Solomon. He is one big mass of flesh with a bald head.
Effing's son was immense, monumental in his bulk, a pandemonium of flesh heaped upon flesh.
Marco and Saul get along well. Right after their first meeting, Solomon asks Marco many questions about his mother, Emily Fogg. The reader learns that at that moment, Saul already understands that he is Marco's father, but he doesn't say anything to Marco because he's afraid of Marco's reaction.
The reader finds out that Emily was one of Solomon Barber's students at his first college in Ohio. When he sees Marco, he sees the resemblance to Emily and says,
"I recognized her the moment you walked into the room."
They got caught in bed together, and this was a big scandal. Emily ran away and Saul lost his job. He never knew he had a son.
Solomon Barber had always been fat. As a child, he took to reading and was the best in his high school. He went to Columbia University in New York, just as his son was going to do later on. After the scandal with Emily, he stopped caring about what other people thought of him. He gained more and more weight, and when he later lost his hair and started to wear all kinds of hats, his eccentricity was even more stressed. Solomon got only jobs at minor, small colleges in the Midwest and West. Students liked their fat professor for his good teaching skills, but Saul never stayed long at one university. He traveled from college to college throughout the country.
And one time he came to St. Paul, Minnesota. He came there exactly at the same time Marco was living there with his uncle Victor. Solomon saw an announcement for clarinet lessons given by Victor Fogg in the newspaper. He tried to contact Victor, thinking he might have a connection to Emily Fogg. Victor sent him a letter explaining that Emily had been his sister and that she had died 8 months ago. When Solomon tried to get into closer contact with Victor, he had to learn that Victor had left the town together with a small boy. Of course, Saul had no idea that this small boy was his own son, Marco.
All of these details come out much later. At that first weekend, Saul and Marco talk about Effing and about Saul's childhood without a father. Marco learns that Solomon Barber was greatly affected by the missing father. He liked his paintings hanging in the house and even organized an exhibition while he was in high school. His missing father even made him write a novel at the age of 17. It was called Kepler's Blood.
Well, it was a rather bad novel.
just because it was turned down by 21 publishers. But you're right, it was more or less a pulp novel. Still, it was some kind of father-son stuff.
Well, it's about a man who left his wife and a little son behind and traveled into the wilderness of Utah. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? He falls off a cliff and is rescued by Indians. The man, John Kepler, stays with them. Later, his own son comes, but the father denies him. As a result, the son kills his own father. But there is another Indian son of Kepler who takes revenge and kidnaps the son of the son. Do you follow me?
A bit confusing. Okay, the Indian son kidnaps the son of Kepler's first son.
Exactly. Kepler's first son wants to rescue his own child and travels to Utah again. This son has learned to transform himself into a coyote and is then killed by his own father, who of course has no idea that he's killing his own son.
Now I understand why the novel was turned down. Sullivan Barber sends it to Marco, who finds it's just as strange as I do. But he understands the novel as a psychological document about Saul's childhood with an absent father.
You said that very nicely. When talking about an absent father, we should also mention Saul's mother, who went mad the night Solomon was born. What a hard childhood.
True. And then years later, Saul has to learn that his father has been alive all these years, and he also learns that he has a son.
Yes, and now that he knows that, he decides to move to New York to spend some time with his son. Marco has no idea about that, but he and Kitty like Solomon and enjoy his presence.
And then Solomon comes up with his plan at a dinner one night. He wants to go looking for the cave his father told Marco about. Marco and Kitty agree to go with him, but both do not take his talk seriously.
But as always, things happen differently than we expect. Kitty finds out that she is pregnant. She doesn't want to have the baby, and Marco really wants to have a family. The family he never had, and he takes it very personal that Kitty does not agree with him.
The baby was my chance to undo the loneliness of my childhood. To be part of a family, to belong to something that was more than just myself. And because I had not been aware of this desire until then, it came rushing out of me in huge, inarticulate bursts of desperation.
They start fighting, and when Kitty has the abortion done, they cannot go back to normal afterwards.
Marco finally leaves her, although it breaks his heart.
Hers too. Imagine having to go through all this.
Yeah, but that's not really the point here.
Summary. Chapter 7. Vocabulary. To console. Cemetery. To back off. Crane. Feature. To decline. Quest. To be flooded. Anew.
Marco moves into Solomon's apartment after the breakup. Although he finds a job right away, he feels really miserable. He drinks too much and he misses Kitty. Solomon tries to bring them back together, but nothing helps. He can only console Marco.
For the first time, Marco starts wondering why Solomon cares so much about him.
In this situation, Saul can finally convince Marco to come with him to look for the cave. But Marco still thinks that they're not going to be successful, that only the going is the point.
Both agree to go to Chicago first because Marco wants to visit his mother's grave. They start their trip early in July 1971.
In Chicago, they first go to the cemetery and Marco cannot hold back his tears. At first, he doesn't realize that Solomon is weeping too. Slowly, he understands why Saul is also weeping. Solomon Barber is his father, and once he knows that, he becomes very angry.
Marco screams at Solomon so that he backs off. Saul walks down the row of graves and falls into an open grave.
They have to use a crane to lift him from the grave. He's unconscious and his back is broken. The next 2 months, Marco keeps his newfound father company in the hospital. It is then that Saul tells Marco his whole story.
It takes a while till Marco accepts the fact that Saul is his father. But as Saul loses more and more weight, he can finally see his own features in his father's face. Oh, this is so sad.
Well, yes. First, it looks as if Solomon recovers, but his body cannot deal with the weight loss. His health declines more and more, and in the end, he dies. Marco only had the chance to meet his dad for 2 months before he died.
But still, they had the chance to get to know each other. Think of Solomon and his father, Julian Barber, or Thomas Effing, if you want. But wait a minute. If Saul is Marco's father, that means that he is Effing's grandson.
Exactly, and Effing never knew.
Once Solomon is dead, Marco calls Kitty, but he finds out that she has found another man. Marco buries his father all alone next to his mother. After that, he continues their plan to find the cave.
Just as he had predicted, his quest turns out to be unsuccessful. Marco finds out that the region where the cave was might have been flooded with water to create Lake Powell. All he can do is rent a boat and cruise over the lake. When he returns from this trip, he has to find out that his car and all of his money have been stolen.
This is really a poor guy. He finds his father, loses his father, finds out that his ex-girlfriend has found someone new, and then they steal his car and his money. That's bad.
Yeah, that's hard for Marco, but he doesn't give up. He continues walking westwards towards the Pacific Ocean.
I had come to the end of the world, and beyond it there was nothing but air and waves, an emptiness that went clear to the shores of China. This is where I start, I said to myself. This is where my life begins.
On January 6th of 1972, he finally arrives at Laguna Beach at the West Coast. There, he decides to start his life anew while the moon is rising above him in the sky. Just as the quote from the fortune cookie once said, the sun is the past, the earth is the present, the moon is the future.
You said that very poetically. I had no idea that you could be so romantic.
Well, I don't know. I guess I like the novel, though it took me quite some time to get through.